Amen. All right, we've got Rich Stein coming to give us the word a second time. It's your time, Rich. Come on up here. And Rich, I just a quick little disclaimer. He's not speaking tongues, okay? He sounds a bit different, but this is not public display of tongues, okay? Let you know, he's also involved with the local Young Life Ministry. So thank you, Rich.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yep,
thank
God
you,
bless.
Bless you, man.
You have interpreters.
You do? Okay, great. All right.
Yes, father and mother are here.
Yes. Thank you, Bob. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How many of you were here when I preached? I think it was last month. So, okay, so a fair of you already know the whole accent joke and, you know, and me not being Australian that I always get. Bless Australians, I love them, but I love South Africans more because I'm South African, okay? But we love America. We've been here 6.5 years. The Lord called us to the UK, England, where my wife and I, where I studied there, became was a lead pastor of a couple of churches out there, and then the Lord called us to America, and I came as an associate pastor thinking that that's exactly what my gifting was and what I really wanted to do, and then within a year, I found myself lead pastor of a church. So God had other ideas, and 4 months ago, I resigned as lead pastor of a church because we just felt God calling us to something new. And we're now full-time missionaries for Young Life here in South Lake Tahoe. So we're just really pleased to be here. Young Life, if you don't know, very quick, 2 minutes, because I don't want to detract from the word, but we're in 104 different countries, Young Life. We're one of the largest missionaries organizations outside of the Catholic Church. We're in every state. We want to be in every single town and city. It's a great outreach ministry. We reach out to middle school, high school, and college kids. So that's what we do full time. We reach out to kids and we try and make a difference in their lives and give them Jesus and give them a place to come and belong and where they can get to know Jesus. So we actually got a banquet on the 2nd of October. We're holding our annual banquet. Bob has been so amazing and he is one of our table ambassadors. So if you want to come to our banquet and you want to come and hear about Young Life, hear the vision, hear a little bit of our story, please speak to Bob, 2nd of October. It's a Monday night. We got a banquet. I think he's got a full 8 or 10 seats, Bob. I can't remember. Something like that. So come and speak to Bob, and then we can come and find out a little bit more about us. But before I go into the word, can we just pray and ask the Lord just to bless and open our hearts? Father God, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing in this house and in this place and in the lives of every single person here. Father God, would you bless our time together? Thank you for the worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearts that just want to serve you, hearts that are so faithful in this house, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that you continue to bless this house. Would you grow? Would you grow this place right now, Lord Jesus? And Lord, as I speak, may everything I say be made alive with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, may you open our hearts and may you open our minds to receive what you are saying. Lord, may we decrease and may you increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week you heard Bob on 1 John 1 speaking on the truth of Jesus, the cleansing light of Jesus. So it was a great message. It's back on your own website. So this is a continuation of that. So if you missed last week, go back and have a listen. But today I want to focus on 1 John 2, verse 1 to 11. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 11. So if you've got your Bibles or your phones, you can swipe open to that or you can open up to that, and I'm just going to read it. Let me just move this. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. There's so much here that John's writing about, so much to unpack, so many themes, so many great, we could be here forever. So I'm so glad that I've got till 3 o'clock, Bob said, to go through all this. Friends, the cross is bare. The stone has been rolled away. And the tomb is empty. Amen?
Amen.
That love and cross, our salvation. Love poured out. Our soul cries, hallelujah. Our debt is paid in full by the precious blood of Jesus. And the curse of sin has no hold on us. We are free indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I marvel at that glorious scene. Amen? It means so much to me that I would give up everything to serve my Savior, my King, my Lord, Jesus. And here we read, John tells us that we have an advocate in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, that he made an atoning sacrifice. That's just a $1 million word for reparation, for repair, to make amends, to make us right with God. That he would choose to do that. That he would come down. He would leave the throne of heaven to come down and be Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate. Not just with us, but when we say yes to Jesus and we invite him in the Holy Spirit, his Spirit becomes in us. Isn't that just, if you stop for a minute, just wow. Just wow. What a privilege. What a privilege. And I think that's the key that makes us different. That's the key that makes this God so different, so personal, that we could have that intimate relationship with him. That we can enter into a loving, real relationship because he's real and alive. Amen?
Amen.
And that obedience that we get to enter into, this relationship leads to a relationship of intimacy, where we get to know the Father, and the Father gets to know us, and the Son gets to know us, and we get to know the Son, and the Holy Spirit gets to know us, and we get to know the Holy Spirit, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that whole exchange, that whole cross, that whole salvation exchange helps us be what? More Christ-like. That's what it enables us to be. We have the real, authentic, genuine thing. Amen? Again, there's so much here, and I'm sure, I think Kevin speaks next week, and he's going to pick up on some of this, but I love the theme of forgiveness. We're going to get to salvation. We're going to get to what this is all about, but I want to just speak a little bit briefly on forgiveness, because it's so hard sometimes in our lives, isn't it, to forgive people who hurt us and mess us up. It's so hard. I heard once that saying like not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Like not forgiving like kills you inside. And it's clear. John wants his readers to know that he doesn't want them to sin. He's like, stay in Christ-likeness, stay in the glory of God. Don't sin, but he knew that no one was perfect.
He knew that everyone needed help and needed an advocate, and we have one, amen? Yeah. And the thought here that John's writing is one of a defense attorney taking up the case for their client before a tribunal. And that's the way that Jesus advocates for us. Does it ring a bell where he did this once? In Luke's gospel in chapter 22, he comes to Peter, and what does Jesus say to Peter? He says, "Hey Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Anyone know his next line? "But I am praying for you. I'm your advocate. I'm your defense attorney." That's the God that we serve. That's the Jesus we have. He has this advocate that comes to us and says, "But I am praying for you." And if anyone has to wonder this morning, if you have God's mercy after messing up, I want to assure you it's right here in 1 John chapter 2. John clearly affirms that Jesus Christ died for everyone. Everyone. Now that doesn't mean everyone is saved. It means that anyone who hears the gospel can be saved if they so desire to be so. Yes. Hebrews says, it says, God has created every single one of us, but he has given the privilege to those who are called children. He gives that privilege to those who say yes to him. We're all his creation, but we're not all his children yet. He gives us that privilege. And then, yeah, we see in this that John is writing the purity. He's writing about the purity of Christ, the purity of Christ's actions, and the rightness that it brings through what he's done to each one of us because he died for us. He made us in his image. We know that through the death and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit, he is in us. And because of his pureness, because of his holiness, because of his worthiness, because of the perfection of Jesus, he is the only one qualified, worthy to stand in that place and be an advocate for us. Amen? So what does it mean? What does it mean when we say Jesus is my Lord and Savior? That's a term we love to use in the church. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and it's right. It's 100% accurate, 100% factful. But what does it mean? And I want to talk about an issue that I don't believe is talked about enough in a church, and it's because he is our Savior, because he offers us a saving grace, that we come under the Lordship of Jesus. And I want to talk about the Lordship of Jesus as John speaks about this morning. Is that okay? Has anyone ever heard about the Lordship of Jesus in their life? Here we go. I love that. It is so important to me. It's one of my, like if you were asked, "Hey Rich, if you had one thing to speak about, it, one of it, what would you speak?" I would talk about the Lordship of Jesus, because I believe everything comes under the Lordship of Jesus. And we see that in verse 4 to 6. I want to read verse 4 to 6 again. The man who says, "I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." It's an issue of obedience. It's an issue of coming into right relationship, but it's an issue of lordship. It's his covering over us. Paul spoke about light last week. Go back in here. I think it's a beautiful description of what he says about light, because that light is just, it's the knowing. It's the knowing Jesus, the knowing God, and it's the perception of him, the perception of how we perceive Jesus and what he's done for us. When we know God, we come under his lordship and we take on his ways. That's what we're called to do. It's like a father and a son who do not know each other. I mean, who know each other, sorry, but live apart. Father and son relationship, they know each other, but they live apart, okay? They won't know each other that well by living apart, but when they come together, they're going to get to know each other really well when they live together, when they share their life with one another. Even though that parent-child relationship still exists in both scenarios, one, you get to know the father really well, the father gets to know the son really well, and in the other, they're apart and they don't get to know each other very well. In other words, the more time we spend with the father, the more we get to know him, the more we're in his light, the more our perception of him, our awareness of him grows, and that's called intimacy. So that's what I really want to focus on this morning. I want to focus on the Lordship because the passage talks about sin, talks about us messing up, not listening, even hating our brothers and sisters. It talks about loving one another. But so often, it's not actually a sin issue that we have. Sin is what we do. If we're talking about salvation, then what we have is a lordship issue. And I'm going to explain that. Do we truly understand what it means to say Jesus is Lord and Savior? Because when we do, obedience is easy. Obedience is easy when we know the one that we're living for. And that's the theme that John speaks of. It's the saving grace that Jesus offers. We call this in the theology world soteriology. Soteriology. Please hear me when I say, I want everyone to hear me. I don't want everyone to run to Bob afterwards. I want you to hear me that when I say this is not a sin issue, okay? Sin is what we do as a result of being out of alignment with the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. We have the freedom. We have the choice. God is here. He's here and he's here. We're in right relationship with him, okay? When we're in run right, when we meditate on his word day and night, when we're in intimacy, when we're in the word, when we're in prayer, when we're in worship, how many of you know when we live in right relationship and right standing with God because of what he's done, obedience is easier. When we step out of that right relationship, what do? Sin. Gregory of Nyssa said, sin is simply not growing in Christ. When we step out of right relationship, sin is what happens. Think about it this way. People who are married, if you're married, you've got something that God has given you. I'm going to say the word in church, the S word. Okay? God has given you the gift of sex. In marriage, in the bonds of marriage, it's a creation by him. It's beautiful. When we're in alignment with God, it's beautiful. When we have an affair, when people have an affair, they step out of what God has already given them to get something else that God's already given them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're stepping out to get something God's already given you. When you step out of alignment with Christ, you have an affair. There's sin. When you're in alignment with Christ, it's a beautiful picture of what marriage should look like and intimacy should look like with your spouse. Sin is just stepping out of alignment, stepping out of under the Lordship of Jesus. Because what is the Lordship of Jesus? It's the rule and it's the reign of his kingdom. What is his kingdom? It's the king's domain. We are under his authority. That's what I mean when I say this is not so much a sin issue, but a lordship issue. Does that make sense this morning? Yes? Okay, good. I want to get that right. Because here's what I'm very big at. Here's what I'm an advocate of. I don't like saying, let's not sin. Let that be our focus. Let's not sin. Okay? I want it to be because let's focus on the lordship of Jesus. Let's focus on the goodness of God. Let's focus on the purity and the perfection of Jesus. Because when we focus on let's not sin, what are we thinking of? Sin. Sin. We're always focused on not sinning. But when we focus on the beauty and the glory and the perfection of Jesus, life flows from that. Amen? Yeah. Life flows from Jesus. So I focus on that. Yeah. Death flows from sin. So let's not focus on that. In South Africa, many years ago, there was an accountant friend, and they went to a conference, and what was happening was there was a lot of counterfeit money being pumped into the country. A ton of counterfeit money. And so what happened is a whole bunch of people got together, top accountants, people who made decisions for the country. They all went to this gathering. And at the start of the gathering, they said, we were going to bring in all the counterfeit documents so you can focus on them and see how they are counterfeit and wrong. But we changed our mind. We decided for you to focus on the truth, the original one, so that when you get to know the original so well, you can spot a counterfeit a mile away. Isn't that like Jesus? When you focus on the original, you can focus on the counterfeit a mile away. You can see the counterfeit a mile away. I love that. We cannot stand here, friends, and try and justify our sinful nature. We can't justify our behavior and be naive about sin and the consequences of it. We know it leads to death. We know it leads to death. We can't be naive about this, but when we fully understand and know the Lordship of Jesus, when we say yes to Him as Savior, we have a new awareness for grace in our world. Grace is that unmerited favor. You know my definition of grace. I don't know if I said this last time. Apologies if I repeated this. But grace is this, okay? My kiddos, 5 and 10, every year, twice a year, I celebrate their birthday. And we celebrate them every year. They didn't even do anything. It was my wife who did everything, all the hard work, right? That's grace. I give them gifts. They didn't even do the work. So what I do in my house is every year, twice a year, when those two kids' birthdays get celebrated, my Jo gets celebrated. I buy her a grace gift because I remember. I said, hey, babe, I remember that day. You did all the work. You get the gift too. And we call it the grace gift. Now, God's grace is so much bigger than my analogy. So much bigger than my analogy. But my wife gets a grace gift because she did all the work. Grace is that unmerited favor. It's getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. I'll say that again. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Okay? And this new awareness of grace is obtained. Why? Because we have an advocate in Jesus, as John has said. First in His death and resurrection. And if that wasn't enough, second in the sending of the Holy Spirit. Not because of the absence of Jesus, but to continue the presence of Jesus. And I think that's really important to look at it. It was given not because of the absence of Jesus, but to continue the presence of Jesus on this earth. And we call Him Lord, don't we? And we call Him Almighty, don't we? And we call Him Yahweh. Jehovah. Anyone else? Other names? Jireh. Alpha. Omega. We recognize that the titles of Jesus is important, don't we? Because recognizing His Lordship means recognizing His titles. Because titles have been bestowed upon Him, haven't they? Titles are a big deal in society. They give notice of somebody's worth or somebody's importance, even possibly what they've done to get there. Think about Savior. It's important because we see a role and a function with titles. During Christmas time, what's one of the most commonly repeated verses that talk about titles? Anyone know? Wonderful, Mighty, Everlasting Father, Prince of Titles prove. These titles prove the Lordship of Jesus. Amen. These titles prove that Jesus was not a backup plan, but was the plan. Amen. So many times in my life have I heard Jesus had to come because He was a backup plan. Whew. Don't get me started. Another preach for next time Bob invites me. But titles, we have titles in the Bible. And I want you to give me 3 minutes. Would you give me 3 minutes to go through the titles of Jesus so that I can just illustrate the importance of the Lordship of Jesus in our life? Is that okay? Yeah, sure. We have titles emphasizing Jesus Christ's saving work. In other words, the person of Jesus. Sorry, saving work, the work of Jesus. Titles relating to Jesus Christ's identity, which is the person of Jesus. titles relating to Jesus Christ's ministry, which is the mission of Jesus, and titles relating to Jesus Christ's authority, the power of Jesus. And here they go. If you've got record, you wanna record this or go back and watch this, because I love this. And if anyone wants this list, I'll send it to Bob and he can freely hand it out. These titles talk about what we've been saved into, okay? They talk about what we've been saved into and what we are under, the lordship, what we are under. Here they go. I'm just going to take a sip. Titles relating to Jesus Christ's identity. The exact image of God, the Son, the glory of God, the first and the last, the Lion of Judah, the King of the Jews, the Word, the bright morning star, the rising sun, the living one, the Amen, the true light, the righteous one, the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the teacher, the prophet, the apostles. Every one of these titles are in the Bible, in the Word of God. The bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the life, the true vine, the way, the truth, the door. Titles relating to his ministry, the seed of Abraham, creator, the root and offspring of David, the heir of all things, the faithful witness, Emmanuel, the capstone, the rock, the bridegroom, the firstborn among many, the first fruits from the dead, the water of life, healer, dead raiser. Relating to his authority, Lord, Yahweh, Lord of lords, head of the church, the chief shepherd, prince, Rabbi, King of Kings, Master, God, emphasizing his saving work, the Savior, Man of Sorrows, the Passover Lamb, the Horn of Salvation, the Consolation of Israel, the Deliverer, the Redeemer, the Author and Perfecter of Salvation, Founder, Sinless One, Mediator, High Priest, Son of Man. I'd hire him to be my Savior, amen? Yeah. Come on. That's your King. That's my King. That's who we serve. That's who he is. That's what we're under. Amen. And then we wake up sometimes and have doubt that God can come through for us. Look at that, what we are under and what we've been saved into, friends. Amen? Amen. And all of these climax. All of these climax. You're doing a Bible study in Philippians. I don't know if you've got here yet, but you're going to love this in Philippians 2. All of these titles climax into this. Therefore, God exalted him. Where? To the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To who? To the glory of God the Father. Man. This is good stuff. This is life-saving stuff, amen? Amen? This is stuff I'm willing to stake my life on. Amen. Because he was willing to stake it on me. He was willing to stake it on you. That Philippians reading, that's, I believe, a prophetic fulfillment of Isaiah 45. Isaiah says this, "By myself I have sworn," Isaiah writes this, "By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked." How many of you know when Jesus or the Lord or the Holy Spirit says something, you can't revoke it? It says that nothing returns from my mouth empty, doesn't return to me void. It means that God, when he says something, there is power enough in his word to fulfill it. And it says, "Before me every knee will bow, and by me every tongue will swear." For Philippians is a fulfillment of Isaiah 45. Bowing the knee, recognizing the lordship of Jesus in your life. And lordship simply means this. It means this is the description, excuse me. The state of having majestic dominion or ownership through legal authority, including both human and pre-eternal dominance. Legal authority. That contract was satisfied, shed and written in the blood of Jesus on the cross. So when we say we're under the lordship of Jesus, we are saying that we're under the authority of Jesus. We're under the authority of heaven and every title and every area that he possesses. Amen. All titles of who he is satisfies everything we'd ever need from him. I want to say that again. All titles of who he is satisfies everything we'd ever need from him. We don't get to pick and choose what we want from him. We don't get to pick and choose what we like about this. We say yes to Jesus. We say yes to this. We say yes to the rule and reign of the living Word of God over our lives. The Father has magnificently exalted His Son to the highest station, to the highest place, and graciously bestowed upon Him the name above every other name, His own name, the Lord, Yahweh. John Piper writes this. This is in John 13:13. Jesus even says to His disciples, "You call me Lord." That's the Yahweh. That Yahweh was so holy. The word of the Lord's name was so holy, they didn't even put the vowels in it because it was like a breath. You breathed the name of the Lord, Yahweh. Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh are the Hebrew letters. Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, which is the letters for Yahweh without the vowels. And in rabbinic culture, there's this thought that a baby, their first word is the name of the Lord. Because God's name was so holy, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh was a breath. It was Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. It was breath. And then the culture understanding is that baby's first breath was actually their first word, Yahweh. How beautiful is that? So holy, so beautiful. All authority, all rule, all dominion. In His exalted state, Jesus exercises universal lordship over everything and everyone. I want you to think about this. If you can just close your eyes for a second. Think about Revelations when it talks about all of heaven, all the elders, all the angels, and all the saints and all the creatures are bowing down to Jesus, to the Lamb that was slain. As you see this picture, picture yourself in and amongst all of heaven, just worshiping, just surrendering and bowing the knee. The real meaning of what bowing the knee means. And consider Him Jesus, worthy enough to bow down. Because friends, if all of heaven and all the elders and the angels and the saints and the creatures recognize that He is the one they need to bow to, then we need to take notice of that. Amen? You can open your eyes. We need to allow that Jesus is worthy enough, good enough, pure enough for us to follow Him. Every area of our lives, to have His lordship over us. And what we need, absolutely what we need, is the intimacy to hear Him, the intimacy to know Him. And I would like to suggest to you this morning that without intimacy, He's not Lord over our life. Not giving Him your emotions, your mind, your hearts, your desires, your temptation, not giving them to Him is not an option. That's what it means to come under the lordship of Jesus. It's to give Him every part of our life. It's a total surrendering in everything we do, in every way of life. Our addictions, our temptations, our struggles, our sorrows, our finances, our desires, everything. He's big enough to handle them. And I don't take it for granted that every one of us sitting here is perfect, blameless, without temptation, without addiction, without sin. Amen? Right. We have them, we carry them. That's our baggage. John knew that. That's why he wrote this. And he says, we have one who is an advocate for us. We have a high priest who can sympathize in our weakness. For when he is weak, when we are weak, he is strong. We have this high priest. We have this one who comes alongside of us, who we can't surrender at all. Because every single one of these, depression, sorrow, lust, pornography, alcoholism, drug abuse, must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It must. When he walks in a room, these things have to shudder in his presence. Why? Because he is the epitome of glory. His light is so powerful, it pierces darkness, and those things are darkness. Amen? Amen. If he's not Lord over all your life, he's not Lord at all. Nothing and no one can take the rightful place of Jesus in your life. No one, nothing. Am I on? Can you hear me? Friends, I want to say this. When the lordship issue is settled, when the lordship issue is settled, every other issue is settled. Jesus, money, fame, power, whatever, influence. When that issue is settled, everything else is settled. When that thing that directs your thoughts, when that thing that directs your actions, when that thing that directs your desires, your plans is settled, the rest of your life finds alignment under the authority and the rule and reign of heaven's throne room. Everything's directed through that lens. That's why I say often we don't have a sin issue, we don't have an addiction issue or a financial issue. We have a lordship issue. I'm going to get very real. As a pastor of churches for 12 years, I've often heard that scary subject no one wants to listen to and wants to squirm in their seats. Tithing. This is not about tithing, but I want to say we hold back tithes because we feel like we don't have enough this month. And I want to just leave you two things. One is, it's not a tithing issue, it's a lordship issue. Do you believe he is who he says he is? Do you believe he is provider? Do you believe he is savior? Do you believe he is healer? Because if you do, that's a lordship issue. If that's settled, everything else is taken care of. I believe God can do more with my 90% than I can do with my 100%. That's what I believe. That's a side note, but that comes in the alignment and talking about the authority and the lordship of Jesus. See, when we are more aware of our enemies and the problems around us than his lordship, we need a Jesus timeout. We need to go back, get in the closet, worship, get right with God, and go and read the promises and truth of what he's told us. Amen? Because when we get into that place, that's the place we find breakthrough. That's the place we find him, Lord of our lives. Why would he say, go and walk through the valley of the shadow of death if he believed we're going to be devoured? Why would he say, I'm going to dine with you, I'm going to make a table for you in the presence of your enemies? Why? So he can show off his lordship over our life. That it can matter with the people who are coming at us. His lordship means that we have a God who will never leave us. His lordship means we'll have a God who will never forsake us. His lordship means we have a God who knows us and hears us. We have a God who wants his best for us. And we have a high priest who prays for us and advocates for us. Every single one of us, I'm coming into land. The plane's coming into land, I promise. Every single one of us have something that we get up for, that drives us, that gets us up. Friends, when it's anything other than Jesus, it's temporary. It's temporary. It cannot be Jesus and football. Cannot be Jesus and soccer, in my case. I know. It's sad. It cannot be Jesus and money. It cannot be Jesus and power. Jesus and X, whatever it is, fill in the blank. It can only be Jesus because he has no rival. He has no rival. What is it that the Lord is asking you to surrender and come under full alignment and full authority and surrender everything to him this morning? Because if there's anything else, it will fade, it will break, it will cease, it will have a bad day, it will let you down. Matthew 6:33, it's one of my favorite verses. It talks about seek first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And everything else will be added unto you. Amen. Find alignment, friends. Find alignment. Maybe some of us are here this morning and we just don't know what it is that's been missing in our lives. Maybe we just like, you know, I've just felt something's been off. I haven't quite felt close to Jesus as I did when I first gave my life to Jesus so many years ago. I'd like to suggest that maybe this morning in your heart and mind that you would resolve to direct your life under the name and the banner and the lordship of Jesus. Because here we see it. We see it in Philippians that God himself exalts his own son to the highest place. God the Father recognizes his lordship. Would you this morning as well? Recognize the magnitude of this moment. Recognize the importance of this moment. What's the highest place? The title of Lord of all, King of kings. From being cursed, in Deuteronomy it says that when someone is hung on a tree, it's a curse. So from being cursed by death on a tree, by being born in the lowly stables, to be naked on a cross, to being exalted in the highest place. What a contrast, amen? From Satan tempting him, taking him to the supposed high place, seducing him with rulership, to being exalted in the highest place by his Father. From being given a crown of thorns and mocked and scorned and being thrown insults at, to be given the name above all names. Amen? From being written, can anything good come from Nazareth? To having written on the cross, King of kings, King of the Jews. Friends, this is our God. This is our Lord. This is our Jesus. Let's pray. Father, this morning we just bow the knee. We just bow the knee and surrender to who you are, to your goodness, to your holiness, to your righteousness, to your saving grace. When we say thank you that you first chose us. Thank you that you first loved us. Thank you that you created us for a relationship with you. Who would do that? Thank you that you saw what we are capable of, and you came and you died for us, and you rose again, and you gave us your Holy Spirit. Well, for those of us who just feel we are out of alignment with you, we just surrender it all. We lay it down at the foot of the victory cross this morning, and we say, Jesus, if you would you say it with me? You are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. And Jesus, you deserve all praise, honor, glory, power, and dominion. They are yours. We are yours. This house is yours. California is yours. Nevada is yours. The USA is yours. The world is yours, Lord Jesus. Come and have your rightful rule and reign in my life, in our life, and in this nation, Lord Jesus. We surrender ourselves and all of us and all of everything we have and we are in and the land we walk, we surrender to you. And we say, we are under your lordship this morning, Jesus. We come in repentance for the ways that we've walked away, the ways we've walked out of alignment with you, Lord Jesus. We repent. If that's you, would you just do that now on your own, in the silence? And so, Father, we say thank you. Thank you for this moment that we are washed clean. We are made righteous with you. You are our chief cornerstone, Father. Today, we make we just renew and we recommit ourselves to walking in right covenant and right relationship and right authority with you. And if you believe that, would all God's people just say amen.
Hallelujah. Let's worship.